Family, especially our little girls, feel really welcome. They have grown up around tall people like you guys. But when you guys wave at them and ask them their name again and again and again, and when I, as a tall person, ask you your name again and again and again, and you again and again and again love us, it feels really welcoming. And so I want to say thank you to you campers for making my family feel so loved. And on the flip side of that, I need you campers to know that every morning at 10:30, the staff gather to pray for you. I need you guys to know that the people who are committing their week and their couple weeks and their summer to be here for you, they love you. And so what we do is we gather up there in the Elk Room. We tell stories about y'all, and we laugh, and then we talk about how we're feeling, and what we do again and again and again is out of the conversations from your cabin, we pray for you. And so I just want you to know how loved you guys are in this space. It's a really big deal. So thanks for making us feel loved, and I want you to know how loved you are. So here would be my encouragement at some point over the next day or two, maybe in a one-on-one with your particular staff, or at least one of your staff, could you tell him or her thank you, and maybe what has been special about the first half of the week? That would go a long way to letting them know that you love them as well, all right? That's your work. Tonight we are into Acts chapter 4, and this is called Unschooled and Ordinary. And Evan, I'm really thankful for your testimony tonight, and specifically the line that you said, which is, man, to be a staff person, to be someone standing up here holding my Bible, praying and talking to you guys, there are many moments throughout my day where I don't feel like I'm worthy of even this platform. Well, that platform, so I stand down here a lot. But I love that Evan said, you don't get yourself right in order to serve God and serve others. That is something that Jesus has done for you, and so it is a response to him for others that we respond. So, Evan, thank you so much for your story. And I love it because that's what we're talking about tonight. Unschooled and ordinary. Up until this point, we have been watching the book of Acts unfold. And the church has been growing. Tonight, it's going to grow again. But for the first time in the book of Acts, it's going to cost Peter something. There's going to be a cost attached to this story that we've been telling, okay? So let's jump into it. We left this morning in Acts chapter 3. The man went with them, that would be the guy who was not lame anymore, went with Peter and John into church, walking, jumping, praising God. When all the people saw him walking, jumping, praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And the people in church were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This was the question that we asked you guys, and we focused on the internal world and how it was different. Do you remember this? What I'd like to do is continue telling the story and add now what that man did. The man in church held on to Peter and John. So whoever said he went into church through the gate called Beautiful, you were absolutely correct. And all the people were astonished, coming running to the place they called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said, "Why does this surprise you?" Basically, he said, "Why are you saying, what the heck?" And then he told the story. Why does this surprise you? There's a lame guy now walking who everyone knew, and now he's jumping, running, praising God. You guys know this. This is the second sermon in church history that Peter is about to unfold. You guys understand what's happening. Peter points the finger. You killed the author of life, but God has raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses to this. Guys, there is something incredibly powerful whenever Michael tells the story about growing up in Syria, correct? There's something incredibly powerful whenever Evan sits up here and tells the story that he's living in right now. There is something incredibly powerful, and again and again and again, we get this witness language. And it's the witness to seeing Jesus alive. The greatest what the heck in the history of what the heck. And again, and again, and again, and in fact, I counted them. And so in just a moment, I'll tell you how many times we have heard this raised from the dead language. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. You all can see it. The reason I'm setting up and telling you the backstory to get to Acts chapter 4 is the question that is going to be posed to Peter is already answered. This is why reading the story is really, really important. And so when you come up with questions in your small groups, go back and see if your answer is here. Now, here's the question that we should all be asking ourselves. If I just say the name Jesus, do all my problems go away? We can all answer this. No, it does not. Sorry. I wrote sorry. There it is. Jesus came to earth for more than just the cross. I love this point. And young Christians, you need to learn this. And not yet Christians, you need to know this as well. Jesus came to live intentionally in the mess. Over and over and over, when I read scripture for myself, what I see is that Jesus often does not heal everyone, even though he could, even though he does often. And we see that in the words of scripture, but he doesn't always. And so here is the point. He went through the brokenness. He went through the mess perfectly. It was back to that idea of the law. The thing that the Old Testament required of people so they could be right with God, Jesus had to live perfectly so he could transfer it to us. And this is why we say we have power. You guys remember from the very first day that the Holy Spirit's job is to make Jesus known in our life. And so the power of Jesus is his Spirit. And remember, the Spirit is with us. The Spirit is beside us, and the Holy Spirit is in us. That is how Jesus walked through the mess of life. And my young friends, that is how you walk through the mess of life. Remember what Jesus said. He said, it is better that you can't just ask me if I'm doing this right. It's better that I, Jesus, leave so that way my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will be with us. He'll be by me, and he will be in me. That is the power of Jesus. That is what is in his name. Now, here's the deal. Acts chapter 4 says, I'm just a kid. I'm not quite getting this. Unschooled and ordinary. Remember, that's what we're going to here. Let's work through it. Acts chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Get ready to talk. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees, they come up to Peter and John while they were speaking to all the people. Reminder, what are they speaking about? The resurrection, yeah, it's a big deal. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Here's the count. We're in Acts chapter 4. The writer of Acts has talked about resurrection 7 times in 4 chapters. It's a pretty big deal. It's the greatest what the heck in the history of the world. It's the one thing that Christianity has that no other world religion gives credit to. Anybody here a competitive swimmer? A couple of us? Oh, actually a lot of us. Wow. I am impressed. That is not my thing. I can't breathe underwater. And so I'm out. But working at Indiana University, one of my students in my ministry is an Olympic swimmer for the national team of Egypt. He came over to IU and the USA for school and for competitive swimming to get better coaching. And he's going back to the Olympics at 23 years old for the second time to swim for Egypt. And his family is Muslim. And so he said, Josh, when you tell my story, you can't use my name. Not that you guys are going to tell, right? But the point is this. He said, it's actually not safe for me to be a Christian in my country. And so I don't tell his name, but I tell you this. Every time I stand up to preach, my friend comes and he says, Josh, you have to keep talking about resurrection. It's the only thing that sets you apart ultimately from anyone else. He says, and if that's true, resurrection, seven times in the first four chapters, it's incredible. He said, everything else can come alive, like a lame man who's now walking and jumping and running. Why don't you guys talk? If you're the captain of the temple guard, what are you going to do to Peter, John, and the lame guy holding on to them? Are you going to kick them out, play zombies somewhere else? Pete, ignore them. No one's going to believe that. It's too crazy. Beat them up. It's hard to talk through buddy lips. Or jail them. Give them a night in the slammer. If you're the temple guard, what are you going to do? Ready? Go. Did I forget to tell you what that whistle meant? Okay, grab your phones. We're going to respond digitally.
No.
Okay, then we'll use our fingers. Ready? Respond digitally. Here we go. Number one, everybody put up a one if you're thinking we're going to just kick them out. Two if you're going to ignore them. Three if you're going to beat them up. Or four if you're going to jail them. And if some of you can't decide, you can use two hands. Ready? Go. Okay. Looking over here, lots of fours, threes, twos, one, a couple ones, tall ones, four. Thank you, sir. One, 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 two, 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 threes, threes, threes and fours. Okay, so we're all over the map here. We get it. You obviously know I'm going to tell you this story. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in the slammer. Yeah, well done, all you fours. Until the next day, here's the kicker. There is something about hearing this story. And so we're going to talk this one through. But many heard the message and believed. And the number grows. This is like the greatest church growth in history. We started off the very first night with about how many? 120. Very nice. Within the next night of us teaching, but within a couple weeks or less, the Holy Spirit came. And the number grew to what? Approximately 3,000. Incredible. And so here what we have is this lame guy who's now not. The second sermon, and the number is up to 5,000. This is incredible. My question is this. What's the most powerful part of growing the church? Now, this is the one where you're really going to have to talk for a while. Is it seeing the lame guy jumping around? Is it hearing that resurrection story? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven times over the span of a couple weeks. Is it Peter and the others who say, no, 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 no. Like he said, touch. Like he told Tommy to stick his hand into his side. Everything's better with sound effects. Like I've seen Jesus. Legit. We had breakfast together. Post-grave. Is that the most powerful thing? Is it hearing the murmur? Guys, think about it. What's the most powerful part? Is it hearing the murmur of hundreds, no, thousands of people becoming followers of Jesus, aka peer pressure? What is the most powerful thing to grow the church? Why don't you take some time and talk this one through, because I'm not going to let you vote twice. Ready, go. That's pretty good. Is our murmur dying down? Do we know this answer? Are we going to respond digitally, or do you just want to kind of talk it through? Okay, digitally, for realsies? All right. Throw them up. Oh, this is too hard for me. This makes my head hurt. Peanut gallery, what's the right answer? The answer from the peanut gallery is 1, 1, 1. 2 or 3 up there, Teddy? 2. According to the peanut gallery, it is one guy jumping around like a crazy man and then hearing Jesus. All right, put your hands down. Let's do it this way. Is the peanut gallery correct? Who says number 1? Hands up, down low. Good. Okay, number 2. Who says it's like 7 times? We get it. Okay, who is Peter? Like, Peter's like, no, legit, I've seen him. Good. Peer pressure. Uh-huh. It's middle school. We knew what the answer was. Almost. It's mostly high school. All right. Does that still work today? What? What works today? Peer pressure. That's the thing that changes our hearts? Is it Evan sitting up here? Is it Alyssa sitting up here and telling their story? Is it Michael? Is it me reading this out loud or just putting it on the screen? Is it you guys touching it? What is the thing that makes you grow? Ready to talk about it. Is it seeing something miraculous? Is it hearing the sermons? Is it other people's witness? Or is it peer pressure? Why don't you guys talk about it? Put yourself there. It's you. This one's uniquely personal, right? Guys, I mean, like, my favorite time of the day is 5 a.m. holding my Bible. Like, it's me in quiet alone. No little girls yelling. They're gone. They're not even here anymore. Right? That's like legitimately, that is the time where I come alive. For some people, it's the worship experience. It's when the band is going full bore. The lights are low, and just the sound is crashing over you. For some of you, it's out on a lake. For some of you, it's a deep conversation with a dark cup of Bucksnort coffee. or Collectivo. Fair enough. I'll give you that. This one's the one that you get to answer. But it's really imperative that you know where and how you grow. That's number one. But number two, it's really imperative that you don't tell someone else how he or she grows. Let me say that again. It's really imperative. That means you must know how you grow. But it is also equally important that you do not tell craft script for someone else how he or she grows. Everybody good on that? All right, let's keep rolling. Here's what the temple guards do. They seize Peter and John because it's evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who hear believe. This was my teaching idea. That no matter which way you hear this story, guys, it must come alive first in you before you can believe. And that is why it's so powerful. And here it is. We sing, we preach, we invite, we murmur, we live out again and again. The next morning, they have Peter and John brought before them, and they begin to question, by what power or what name did you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers and elders, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness. Now, that's kind of like a joke, right? He goes, I know what the game here is. I'm not being pulled in just because this guy was lame and now he's not. He said, know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Number 8, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become a cornerstone, and salvation is found in no one else. Now, what you may not know is that little quote in there is from Psalm 118. I've got the reference down there if you want to look about it. See, Peter knows this is not about the guy who wasn't walking and now is. It's not about that at all. Like, something happens whenever there's a movement of people and the murmurs become hundreds, become thousands. When you guys take the story of hope, when you guys take the story of healing, when you take the name of Jesus with you, there is a cost. And from this story in Acts chapter 4 on, we're going to see persecution. And in fact, by the time we get to Acts chapter 7 and 8, the persecution is going to become killing. Guys, there is a cost for knowing this story because our world doesn't know what to do with it. They don't, like, they can yell what the heck pretty loud just like you guys, but they don't know what to do. And so, all they know is that Peter is pointing the finger again. Here we go. Peter's words, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. What I'd love for you to do, I'd love for you to read this again with me. And for some of you, I want you to be Peter. And I want you to put yourself in Peter's sandy sandals and say this: what does it feel like to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in the temple to the chief priests, the elders, and the Sadducees? For some of you, I want you to be the bad guys. What's it like to hear the words of Peter and to feel the finger? For some of you, I want to be the po-po. That's the temple guards. You don't have to be that. But some of you may want to be. All right. I'd love for some of you to think about who else is in the room. And so maybe some of you just want to be innocent bystanders. Okay? And then for some of you, I'd love for you to be the former lame guy. What you doing? And if you need a hint, you know where it is. All right. Whoop, going backwards. Hey there. Know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. Ready? Go. I couldn't remember. I'm getting old, y'all. I couldn't remember if I turned off my mic or not, so I just had to test whistle. Who's Pete? Okay, a few of us. Who were the priests? Who were the bad guys? Uh-huh. I like you. Who were the popo? 5-0. Oh, lots of the boys. Who else was in the room? Somebody have a... Okay, we got some unique bystanders. Who is the former lame guy? Checking out verse 14. Okay, we got a good spread here. Where are we going to start? Who wants to go first? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Just say it. 3, good, all right, popo. There's a bunch of you and a couple girls over here. All right, you threw him in jail for this, Declan? You jerk.
Probably wondering, why did I do this? Like, he was just saying his own beliefs. And especially as a temple guard, listening to all this, you might, like, you're hearing everything. So... the priests are walking in saying, stop them, but you're sitting there hearing everything.
Hmm.
So you might even start to feel a little more...
a little tension.
Yes.
I like it. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a theocracy back then, so they answered to the Pharisees in the church. So, and the church didn't necessarily agree with Peter, so, yeah.
Okay, so these were men under authority, and they were like, hey, I just got a job to do. All right, I'll take that. Anybody else with a 5-0 over here? No? We're good. Okay. 1, 2, 4, or 5? Who do we want to do?
One,
obviously. One. All right, Pete, what was it like? What's filled with the Holy Spirit feel like? Somebody. No, I'm a Sakura. Yeah. Yes.
So it'd be I don't know. If I was that, I'd be I don't want to stop talking and not let this happen and be conference.
I love it. You want to capture the moment is what I'm hearing you say. I won't let this moment pass, so I won't stop talking. Flood them. Yes. Yeah.
Judaism is the more prevalent thing throughout time.
Fantastic.
The Pharisees have become rather controlling.
I love that. Let me put a pin in it. I'm coming exactly back to that idea. Yes. Deep.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. What a great word. Y'all, if you don't know the word vulnerable yet, basically it means you're willing to risk your internal reality without any awareness of, without any promise of what someone else will do with it. Let me say that again. Vulnerability is the risk of my internal without a promise of what you will do when I risk it, when I show you vulnerable. That's great. And I'll add vulnerability plus his courage word. I mean, that's great. Okay? We haven't heard 2, 4, or 5, so obviously we're going to do 5. Duh. Yes. Yeah, she said, if I was the lame guy, I would be like, hello. Right? Norman, I just jumped. You know where I always sit. Good. Who else has a 5? Yeah. I love that. I am willing to risk my life for Peter. I will step in front and take the bullet. Right? This guy just healed me. What can I do to repay him? I love it. Yes. Okay, the flip of that is, I'm stepping behind Peter. I'll let him take the bullet because I just got my legs. I love it. Big ending. I love it. The confusion because, and wait for it. Exactly. Okay, I love it. And obviously, then we're going to go from there. Whoa, time out. Time out. You Sixers cheating me. We're going to go 4. Duh. Do you have it for me? Who else is in the room? This is your moment. Yes? Oh, I like it. The feeling is, that's really good, right? The sense of guilt because you feel like you're being blamed for the death of Jesus. P.S., he's not dead anymore. Again and again and again and again. 4? Okay, 4. Who else is in the room? Okay, call it good. And have I missed one? The bad guys, right? Was it the priest? Did we do the priest yet? All right, that's the big ending then. All you silly boys in the front. All right, the priests. Shh. That's super good, right? What that kid is saying over there, what's her name again? Oh, yeah, I like her. Saying that little stone that Peter tossed out there, the priests know it. And as soon as they hear the stone that the builders rejected, Peter didn't say the builders. He said, you builders. As soon as Peter made that twist, what she's saying is the priest knew that the prophecy was about them. Yeah, I love that. Good job. Okay, let's move from there. Who said courage? Right here? Right? Say big money. Here it is. when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man, wait for it, who had been healed, jumping there with them, there was nothing they could say. Here's your big ending for tonight, your last question. Don't mess it up. Which element of these verses is the best for you? Go back to it real fast. You know what the question is going to be? Let's read it one more time so that way you know it. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Which is the best element for you? Was it the courage, the realization, the note, the proof? I named him Ron. Or the quiet? There was nothing they could say. What's the best part? Do it quickly and let's get out of here. Got the close. All right. A question about your small group times, real quickly. A question about your small group times. You know that those times are for whatever you guys need. And you also know that the very first question is, which of these verses jumps out and grabs your attention? That's exactly what we're practicing right now. And so really quickly, who loves the bravery of these men the most? The courage it took. Who likes that? Yo, they're like me and you. Unschooled, ordinary. Yo, I went to Purdue. Like, they don't teach Bible there. I just read it a lot. And then I talk. The realization that these men had lived and been with Jesus is what set them apart. Who likes number three? The fact that I walk with Jesus and therefore I look different to people. I love that one. Who like, here's Ron. How many of you like just like that I named him finally? That's good too. And then who likes the quiet? The fact that there's nothing you can say because I'm just pointing at Ron the whole time. I love that as well. Let's get to the ending. When they see courage and they realize that just like you, these are unschooled and ordinary men. Guys, here's the deal. There's a story that's told whenever the Pharisees ask Peter if Jesus pays his taxes. There's this story where the Pharisees ask Peter, the guy who's been preaching these last two sermons, if Jesus pays his taxes. And Peter's like, oh yeah, he totally does. And then he comes up to Jesus like, yo, we pay taxes, right? What you don't know is what happens in Matthew. So Jesus looks at Peter and goes, hey, buddy, come on, man. All right, go throw a line in the lake and you'll haul out a fish. How many fishermen? How many fishermen in our room right here like love fishing? Okay, good. I thought it was Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever we are. When you pull out this fish, you're going to open up his mouth, stick your hand in it, and what you'll pull out is 4 drachma. Take those 4 drachma coins and go pay the tax. Now, here's the crazy part. How many disciples roll around with Jesus?
12.
And if the drachma is 2 drachma, how many drachma are we short? 20. Very good. Whoever said 20, you win. Oh, way to go. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Why doesn't Jesus pay taxes for the other disciples? The answer is because you only pay taxes when you are 18 or above. So the disciples who are rolling around with Jesus for 3 years that Jesus is not paying taxes for are your age. The only one that Jesus pays taxes to is for Peter. My friends, only Peter was over 18. And so when you see unschooled and ordinary, that's you. And you have the power of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that is with you, that is by you, that is in you, that changes how you walk around. And so what this means is, my final slide, is that you have everything you need to move through your world with the power of Jesus. Guys, God loves you, and you have everything you need. So what we do again and again and again is we tell you this story of hope. Your work is to listen to the Holy Spirit and to believe, and then to take courage to proclaim your faith. Yes? All right, cabin time, you get to go again into it, yeah? I'll pray for us. Joseph will close us, and we'll try it again. God, that changes things, God. That changes things when we realize, Jesus, that you walked around with people that look a whole lot like us. And so we lean into your grace. We lean into your story. Amen.